Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Ron Newkirk, and with me, as always, is Mr. Krafik. We are coming a day late and a dollar short.
Great line.
Kind of like our CMG hopes and dreams.
$2 short.
Yep. We are coming off a great weekend. Although we didn't accomplish everything that we wanted to, I still think it was a successful weekend. What do you think, John? I mean, we had that extra day, that buffer day to kind of just, I needed it personally.
I know, dude. I'm still spent from this weekend. But so true. All in all, a very successful weekend. So good, dude. Like, to be back in the big dog shootout again, but to be playing like that style competition or competitive golf. And I think the coolest thing was like doing it again was just seeing all the first time people getting into like the big dog shootout and how real the nerves were and like how many people commented about like, cause it's funny, you know, the member guest format, we've talked about it a bunch and everything, but it's funny how many times you hear, whether it's like guests or even people who have been in the league who are just playing in the tournament for the first time is like, they're so kind of in awe of like the competitive side of golf. Like, cause a lot of people don't really get, you know, experience it.
That's the thing.
It was just like, cool hearing that.
Yeah. You don't understand the competitiveness and like that whole aspect of it. And like how different golf is when you actually play competitive like that. Until you do it. And like you said, seeing those first timers, I think the best one was obviously Shaw. Spoiler alert, he made it into the big dog shootout out of his flight, but we're not going to ruin, because that story is when we get to the big dog shootout.
Right.
He's really the only one that made me feel better about my performance.
Oh, he had a couple really, really good one-liners, but yeah, we'll wait to get into the BDS. But.
Oh my God. Yeah. So let's just take everybody through like the whole weekend. It started off really well on Friday, with the dinner. The dinner was really delicious. But the putting, I feel like, was really, really good. I showed up there, a little earlier than I thought, showed up like right around 4 o'clock and nobody was really there, except for John Baker. John Baker was there with me, and he was dishing out some, just stirring the pot already with the senior flight, and his old man's playing in the senior flight. He's like, well, they better not be teeing off from the same tee boxes as, or they better not be winning long drive. They better not, what happens in the big dog shootout? Do they play from the reds? Like all this stuff. But when I showed up, Scott was grooming the putting green, and he had a pair of scissors and he was cutting the fringe like around the edges. Like that's how serious this dude was taking this putting green. And he really, this year was pretty cool. I thought it was one of the best.
Yeah. With the putting contest, it's just, he makes four holes. You go around twice, you play eight holes total, best ball of the team. So me and you obviously both go, but every one of the holes is within what, 2-3 paces of the edge of a green. And it's always on, you know, the part of the green where it's sloping off. So the reason he's taking scissors and cutting the edges of the fringe is so that the golf ball rolls off. That's a stroke penalty for anything that goes off the putting surface. And yeah, dude, that was the longest, I don't think anybody was under par, right? Going in like after Friday, I think they didn't get under par until Saturday.
That was the first time.
That was the most that course has kind of fought.
Yeah. I mean, usually somebody gets to one or two under on Friday. When it starts to get a little after dinner, we bring out the lights, and this year it was very well lit, I have to say, cause I feel like we were there for a little bit longer than normal. But yeah, nobody really, it was, I think one person was at even.
And right, no, little, I think that's what it was. Yeah. We were plus one, right? I think because
we were plus one. Yeah, that was the best we got to.
Yeah.
Or no, did we get to even Saturday?
I think that was Saturday. I think maybe we didn't.
I don't think we even got.
Think we did. I know we had so many chances. Yeah.
A lot of chances. It was.
But I will say,
putting performance.
That the format of that, and I think a lot of member guests do that, where they have, you know, some sort of opportunity to bet some money and do a putting contest and everything like that. But specifically with the CMG and the history, like, of us playing there. Friday, now granted, I know, you know, that was the shortest I've ever seen a Candlewood green, was that putting green. That was the shortest I've ever seen them cut one. I mean, it was, it was burnt out in spots. It was the lowest I've seen it.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, it's probably some of the wettest I've seen. I mean, you know, you guys had an absurd amount of rain, but just being able to putt on that Friday is like, so massive for like confidence, because you're, you know, the way we do it, we kind of strategize. Our little strategy for the putting contest is I'll go first and I just try to make a two putt. Right. And so for me, that's like,
it helped through the whole weekend, honestly.
It was massive, because then we pretty much just turned everything into like a two putt contest, and we avoided, I don't even know if I had a three putt this weekend. Like I cannot remember one. Granted, match play comes into that too, but I came away from this weekend taking so much from those, like, putting, just from that, like, the putting contest, and taking it into the round. Obviously I've talked about, had some putting struggles coming in.
But you were pretty lights out though.
Putter felt great. So it was nice to just get a shitload of those reps. I mean, we went around our fair share of times. We helped the pot a little bit, but
yeah, we did. I don't know what the final one was, but
I don't know.
Well, Jimmy Gilbert, we finally got to meet Jimmy Gilbert, and it turns out that I knew him the whole time.
For sure.
I just didn't know his name. He's the same guy.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, I'll tell that story quick. I mean, I don't really remember it, but I know him just screaming, "It's the same guy or something." And he's talking about, you know, one time he'll just shank it into the woods, and other times he'll have a 2 foot par or 2 foot birdie putt. Like, you know, like, but it's funny the way he, when I realized that same guy was Jimmy Gilbert. It was like, man, I was expecting, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but not same guy.
By the way, you use same guy very well. Like, if you come off, I noticed you've used it a couple of times. Like, if you come off, like, if you make a birdie or something, I'm not saying you specifically.
Yeah.
This is just like, I'm just giving an example of how to use same guy.
Yeah.
Like, you make a birdie on one, and then you go to the 2 tee box and you top one.
Yeah.
Like just same saying guy. Same guy in a nice, like, monotone voice is absolutely hilarious in that situation. Or to do, like, to say that to someone else. So that's good
for
listeners
just
to
keep
use.
Back in that's your a good back one. Pocket. Yeah. That's right. It's a nice, nice, easy one to remember too. But yeah, he ended up winning. I didn't see what the pot was up to, but, I'm sure it was a decent amount.
Impressive win. It's cool. So what they do is you have to qualify. You hit a number. I think it was 1 under and 2 under, maybe. So there were what, 4 or 5 groups? Oh, Mark made it.
Yeah, Mark. Shout out to Mark. He made it.
They
the
made it. And then
the run of their lives.
Oh my god. He made the fourth hole twice.
Yeah, 8 inches out with pace. That's what I heard it was.
And then it went from best ball to cumulative, and they got shot to the moon.
Yep. I'm pretty sure the first time around, when he came around, he's just like, there's a reason we're in flight 5.
I think I saw a plus 13 after one, like, go around.
There was plus 13 and then an X after them. so it couldn't have been too good.
Funny.
But Klinger, Klinger and Galoh are always there in the putting contest. They qualified early. They were sitting in the catbird seat, which I love. Just watching everybody doing their thing,
shit talking
a lot. And, oh, dude, speaking of shit talking, all those guys that don't putt but just sit there and drink and heckle,
like Gene. Got it.
What's that?
Like Gene,
Hammy, Dave, like all.
Oh,
those,
right, Hammy. True.
None of those guys. I appreciate the heckling, but I think these guys got to step their game up a little bit, because if you're not gonna putt, at least get good at shit talking. You know?
Yeah. we need something better next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we didn't even hear you guys out there. We were just doing our thing.
It's so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, the putting contest Friday night, it kicked off. It was great. I thought it was, we had the weather and stuff. And then
the last thing Friday was we learned that our flight went from 6 to 5.
Oh yes.
Teams to 5 teams, which.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah. RIP, very tough.
Ken Knipple, apparently. Well,
you can't say RIP like that. He didn't actually die. His leg might have, but.
No, it's, yeah. Okay. Sorry to Ken Knipple's leg. So I heard from Carl, we still don't know, like we don't have confirmation on really any of this. Hofer said that he had talked to Ken and said that he had broke his tibia.
I heard three stories. I heard he fell off a ladder, broke his tibia.
Yeah.
He fell off a ladder, tore his ACL, and he fell off a roof, tore his ACL. I heard three separate stories.
So I'm going to go with all of it. I think he tore his ACL, MCL, and broke his tibia.
Falling off a roof,
slipped onto a ladder. Was on the roof.
Good call.
Yep. Nah, game over. But hopefully we wish him a speedy recovery. Wish that they were out there because we would have
been fun.
We would love to play against those guys. But it did give us a pretty sweet little Saturday because.
Right.
Yeah, we showed up Saturday.
So essentially what happened is everybody in our flight got a bye week. So the rounds were set, and whenever you played the Knipple twosome, you just got 9 holes to yourself on the golf course on whatever side you were on. So that fell for us. We had our first match Saturday morning, and then we were set to play them the second match Saturday morning. So we started off with our first match and then got a bye.
Dude, so we get to play McDermott, and I'm going to let you take us through the first hole.
Oh my God. Yeah. So McDermott is easily one of the, he's one of the people I look forward to the most when going to this tournament, just because whenever that dude opens his mouth, you have no idea what you're going to get. and he's just, he's hilarious. Is he retired?
I don't know if he is.
Okay.
I don't know if he is. Yeah. He was
so he was a pilot, right? Yeah. So he's playing with his son, who I think I asked you this like right after we started watching him play. I was like, this kid is 14. And he turns out he's not 14.
He's not old enough to drink, but I think he's 19. Right. Yeah.
19. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's playing with his son.
So young.
And we, of course, start on 5, which is easily probably the hardest hole in the course, the tightest tee shot. Yeah. And we had the box, correct?
Yeah.
You tee off. So yeah, for the entire tournament, Ronnie goes first always. Yeah. Literally he teed off. He did anything that we did in the format. You went first,
Which I think is a smart play. And I still think it's a smart play.
No. Yeah. It's perfect. We kind of know what works for us.
I just play my game. And then if you need to take it more seriously, because I duff one in the woods, you do.
right. So you come up, you hit driver, you fucking smoke driver, which is so impressive coming off the bench to
absolutely
first hole of the tournament. Just smoke driver. I also somehow I went to the range twice before this tournament. I played once in like 2 weeks leading up to it. And all of a sudden I played a fade kind of shot pattern for 2.5 months and went into this tournament with a draw. So
at the range, I think you realized.
Yeah, and literally at the range, I'm like, I think I'm going to have to hit a draw. So it was weird with the 5 wood, cause that's the club obviously I feel, most comfortable with. So I needed to start kind of anticipating this thing going right. Cause I had not been using the right side of the golf course for a while.
Really, that is just not the hole to do it on.
No. So I kind of take not a super aggressive swing, but I hit one, goes right. It's just towards the right edge of the tree line, get a nice kick, drops. It's somewhere where I've played that hole. I've been there a million times.
Definitely got a good kick though.
Right. Yeah. No, I did get a good kick. Yeah. And
so we have two safe balls.
So we have two safe balls. Yeah. They get up to the tee. I think John goes first, right?
I don't know. I think Sam went first and just blew one into the
left, right into the trees.
Yeah.
I think John blew one right. No,
John blew one.
He went
he went left, but he
went
found
left, but he
his.
Was in play. Yeah, he found it.
Finding his. Yeah.
So we're looking for my ball over to the right. We know you're obviously up in the fairway. They're over to the left looking. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go. I think Sam was picking where he wanted to drop, or he might have just dropped and hit one up. I think I was like, I believe I had a 9-iron.
Yeah, want to say were decently like far.
160 maybe?
I believe yeah, that was the number, 160-ish.
And I hit a good one and it looked really good, and it started looking better, and then it started looking real good. And I was like probably 3 feet, 4 feet, maybe.
I'd say, yep, 3 or 4.
So I was fired up, and they could see it too. And McDermott's like, what the hell?
Yeah, because the lie that you were in, I mean, it's soaking wet over there. It's just heavy rough, and you just clipped that thing out of there. And it was just so pure. I'm just like, holy shit, like, let's go.
Yeah, right.
But they end up hitting theirs, and they go in. I think they're up near the green, and it's finally my turn to hit. I had 104 yards. I remember that because, like, we had that. I had that number like a million times this weekend, and went up there. I was just trying to hit the middle of the green, and ended up hitting it inside your ball,
inside mine, like legit to a legit 2 feet.
Yeah.
Yep. And we get up to the. I believe he said this when we get up to the when we got up to the hole, and he just looks at us and goes, you couldn't even have brought lube. Like, it's the first hole and you're going to do this to me. It was hilarious. Yeah. We make both putts.
They end up giving us, that's how close mine was, is that they
was a gimme.
They gave us the birdie putt, and then I tapped it in, and then you're like, I'm just going to tap it in. So
right.
We both just tap it in afterwards. And oh my God, that's how it started. Like
we start birdie, never look back. That not much to say about that round.
No,
we shot one under. We went 8.5 to 1.5, an absolute slaughtering.
Yeah,
just a statement.
Statement number one, I believe.
And there was nothing they could do. I mean,
you
were gonna have to beat us with a birdie or a par.
Exactly. They weren't. It's not like they were playing bad. They just weren't. The couple bogeys got them. That's all.
Right,
we were
right.
just solid. And I think both of us were playing well. Yeah, then we had the bye. So we were up 8.5 to 1.5, like you said. Is it 1.5? Yeah.
1.5, yeah.
Yeah. And really, there was no other blowouts in our flight. And I can't even remember, like, all around.
No.
But I know the Courtney's won against the Hofers. And Pody's had a bye, so that was it, right?
Right.
So then we have our bye, and really, it was nice, dude. Like,
super nice.
I didn't really play that well, but like, I don't know, like, how to describe like the mindset through that thing. Like, obviously, we were working on stuff, and I kind of told you, I was like, let's not, like, because that could have gone like bad if we just kept swinging and trying to do stuff and like overwork ourselves. We just played our games, we did our thing. Like, I don't even think we kept score, really.
No, that was the biggest thing. I kept like mentioning it, is like the old us, like 2-3 years ago, us would have taken, you know, multiple tee shots on each hole. I would have tried to hit driver on pretty much every hole and then pulled something like smart, like just legit, dude, over swinging. And that was like a big emphasis, was like, I think for the both of us, was let's turn our brains off, let's play a little golf, see the spots we're going to be hitting from, and just like kind of chill.
It was the big dog shootout side is what we were playing. Mm-hmm. And you actually learned a couple things. Like, it was nice though, because like you would hit 5-iron on 7, right? And you're like, oh, I think it might be a different club, like,
yeah.
So like, we were taking one swing, but we were taking notes while you were doing that too, you know?
Right.
So it was good. It was beneficial. I don't think it hurt us, which was good. And then we played. Did anything crazy happen during that? I feel like something happened during the practice round.
Maybe I don't think so.
No. So yeah, then we have our third round. We had lunch, which I scarfed lunch down, dude. That was a bad decision too. I thought we had the less burger. Time. Yeah, the burger was great and everything was great, but I just scoffed everything down, and then we had like a half hour to wait.
Yeah.
So we were looking at the scores, and I believe Courtney's won again. So they were running real hot on Saturday.
Right.
They won 6.5 to 3.5. both times. And then we played them. That was an interesting matchup.
Yeah. Very.
Yeah. It was later in the day. Love
probably the most, Yeah, I was, go ahead.
I was just love the Courtneys. But
the most serious match.
Yeah. It was sure. It was like a make or break thing. Like we had blown McDermott out and then got our 6 points from Knipple. So we had a little lead, but we wanted to just keep rolling. And if they got steam, it was a determining match.
Oh really. Yeah. It was the swing match for sure. Cause they get a bye Sunday. So they only have to play one match Sunday. They're guaranteed 6 points at least for the first match.
Yep.
But yeah, they, and at that point, like, I mean, we obviously won last year. We move up to flight two. We weren't in Courtney's flight last year, I don't believe, right? He was in two.
I don't think he played last year.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Oh, maybe he did. Maybe it was a year before.
They might have played with his daughter, yeah. But still, definitely a little bit of a target on our back, too. It's like, you know, somebody wanted to beat us.
Felt like it, yeah, for sure.
And that was
a crazy round. So you got to, you know, I was saying before, I love the Courtney's and stuff, but I don't necessarily love his choice of music. Does he love music, and does he love blasting that shit? And really, music doesn't bother me usually.
Talking about the music,
but yeah, there was a lot going on with the music, and it's just, I don't know, it's not my cup of tea, and it was on the fence of annoying, and I wouldn't say unsportsmanlike, but just, you don't have to have it blasting like that. Like, it can't be comfortable sitting in the cart when it's that fucking loud.
I know, right?
Like, there's just no, there's
the eardrums are burnt out by that.
Yeah. But anyways, we had, his son got a bunch of strokes and he got them early.
Yeah, we started on five again, actually.
Yeah, and he was literally playing out his ass, like, really, really well.
Smoking the ball.
Yeah.
He hit the ball so hard off.
He was hitting the ball so hard, and he was just scoring. And it was tough to compete with. That's it. We got down two early. I believe we had four or five holes left.
We were going into nine. So we had nine and then the first four. So we had five holes left. We were down two, I believe.
We were down two. Yep. And
that's where the magic happened.
This is where you kind of kicked it on, and you had said verbally, like, this is the CMG. Like, this is it. So you end up birdying that hole. Then
I don't know. I after I said this is the CMG, I said, I have to hit driver. I legit was like, if this is going to happen, it's either going to happen. Like, I'm going down swinging. I need to start pulling driver.
That's it. And boy, did you,
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah,
you,
that run,
it just aggressive swings.
So
just
aggressive.
Like, the most aggressive swings ever, but just the piercing ball flight and the takeoff of these balls, and just would go like dead straight so far. They were making me feel uncomfortable, and I was your partner.
That's hilarious.
I could only imagine how they were feeling. So you ended up birdieing nine.
So I birdied nine.
And then we go to one.
Yep.
Where I end up birdieing and
yep.
to actually tie Courtney. So it's not like they weren't going down easy. Like, Courtney birdies, he puts one real close. I end up making a decent putt, probably like an 8 footer, right?
Yep.
Seven footer, something like that. So we birdie to keep it the same. And then you birdie two.
Two. Yeah.
Like a boss.
So we go birdie. Backs are up against the wall.
So now we're tied with them going into the last two. So now we're on the par three there, the whole three.
Yep.
And boy, did I hit one of the best four irons I've ever hit in my life.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We're about 190.
I think it was playing like 194, but it it always plays like deeper. A little over two.
Yeah, it always plays a little deeper. So I was hitting 4-iron, just smooth swing, trying to just groove one in the middle of the green. End up pulling it a little bit, but the flag was on the right, so it worked out. And literally, I hit like a few feet before the flag, and it just spun, and then just barely got off the green. They end up, I forget what they did. I think they both came up short, but I ended up 2-putting for par, and that won the hole. So now we're up one. Going into the last one where we all, you, me, and Ryan, stroked.
Oh, we're getting a stroke,
And John was not. So this was another big one. Long story short, they bogey, we par, and we ended up winning 6.5 to 3.5, which was huge.
Big time, yeah. That massive. Was the...
It was massive.
Yeah, that was the only time we were really like...
Our backs are against the wall.
Yeah. Like just stressed a little bit. It was, that's one thing too, is I remember like, the first couple years we played in it, how like dire almost every hole felt like even in the first round, but this year, the last couple years, it's kind of just been like smooth sailing. Like, we're just playing golf. We're trying to make par. We kind of know what we're doing. So it never felt really, that was the only time where I felt like it, we puckered like a little bit where it was like, here it is.
Met a little bit of adversity there, and it was good to come back. But to your point, I think like the biggest thing that's changed for us is like knowing that there's still time. Like, if you get down early, you have time, but also like when you're up early, you still got to keep the pedal down because there's so much golf to play. Like I think just realizing like competitive golf, like what can happen? Like you catch a little momentum and it's easy to roll and it's easy to let go too. So like, really, I think just realizing and recognizing and trying to just have that goldfish mentality and play every hole, really, really is helping out. So I'm already excited for next year. But yeah, now we have a pretty sizable, I think it was a 4-stroke lead sleeping on Saturday night, which was big.
Yep.
Both the guys that we played, I was going to say both of the guys that were tied for second only played one round. So I was doing math and I think we needed 11 points total in the two rounds
to clinch.
And we ended up getting 8.
Yeah, so we play
Sunday.
we play the young podies to start.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about this too. They're supposed to be on this podcast right now.
That's right.
They're supposed to be on this podcast, and we made a bet with them, two lefties. This is the first time I ever played. First time I ever played with four lefties ever. Kyle is an absolute stick, who happened to not play that well against us. I don't know if it was intimidation or
probably, or just,
I think that's what it was.
I think he said that a couple times.
Yeah, probably. and this is actually, so the night before, or no, maybe Friday, I think we had said that on this match, if they won, they were going to get to come on the podcast and have about 3 or 4 minutes of just degrading talk to us and telling us how bad we are and just how, whatever they wanted to say. But if we won, we were going to have them on, say hello, state your name, and then just listen.
Oh, we were going to get a simulator.
I tried. I tried. Shout out Golf Zone, by the way.
Yeah.
It might be a new sponsor.
Yeah.
We played them. It's a good team. Connor, right? Go ahead.
It's fun. It's funny. The podies, they really don't know how to do this thing. You got Ryan who brings in Damien, who's shout out Damien. Great to see him. One of my buddies from high school, Damien Logue. Haven't seen him in the longest time. I was going to say, I almost was going to call him Vodka Lemonade. Cause that story actually of you on the putting green. So I'll tell that real quick, but, the bartender walks over, she's bringing over just like a bunch of drinks. So there's a bunch of like, she just had beers, Coors Light, Bud Light, whatever, all on a tray. And she pretty much was just like, take what you want. I'll put it on the tab, whatever. So she comes out with a round of beers and then next walks out with a single vodka lemonade. And it, you know, looks like this girly drink. And she walks over and she walks over to me. And Ronnie's like, oh yeah, this, of course you walked over to him. Like, that looks like the dude who would order, like, long hair. That looks like the dude who would order a vodka lemonade. And I was like, what? No, that's not mine. And I look around and you look at me and you go, wait, I have a weird feeling. I know exactly who that's for. And I was like, who? You go, you're like, I bet you it's Pody's partner. And I see her like walk over and I just see Damien raise his hand. He's like, yeah, that's mine. That's my vodka lemonade. So it was just hilarious. Dude. So the rule is within the flight is like, if you, whoever the lowest handicap was, is you can't have somebody who's 10 strokes or higher, entering that flight with a handicap. So for example, if Pody's a zero and like Damien was a 12, he has to come in as a 10.
Right.
So they're already out behind the eight ball, right? You're punching your weight so far. You're punching so far above your weight. So Ryan has that. Shout out Pody. By the way, he shot 5 under Saturday through 27 holes. And I don't think they won a match, which is hilarious. But Damien
shout out flight one.
Yeah. Damien did have some birdies though.
Damn.
He's already been sending me messages.
Net or gross birdies?
I think he had both. I think he had one of each. But he's already been sending me the comeback grind 2022. CMG, like, he was at a driving range yesterday. He sent me a hilarious video. But the younger Pody did it too. So Connor is brand new to golf. Literally, I think he said he's been playing for like a year now. He's like a 22, 24 handicap, and he's in flight too. So each of them are just like, they both got to be perfect in order to kind of make any noise.
Noses are out a little far above the skis.
A little bit, but no, it was fun to play them too. That was just such a good, like, such a, now, like, these rounds are getting so comfy, right? It's like,
yeah,
when you have a lead too like that going into Sunday, there wasn't like a care in the world.
The craziest thing about their round is that we just went out there and we won the first 5 holes.
Yeah, like, straight up. No, we didn't. Yeah.
So we just won the match.
Won them outright
in the first 5 holes. Boom, we won. Then, what the hell? Oh, then they won.
Kyle birdied 10. Yeah. He made a putt on 11. Oh, I think Connor might have made a sick putt on 11.
Something happened.
They went back to back. They had like 2 good holes. Yeah. I remember you looking at me. You were like, "We need to shut the door." I was like, "Shut the door! What are you looking like? We just won the first 5 holes."
The old mathematician was at it again and thought they had a chance to win still. But
that's right. That's right.
But I still didn't want to give up points. So then we ended up winning the 2 par 3s. Boom, boom. So that was the. I feel like that was the first match ever that there was no halves. Like it
zero
was
halves.
Just, it was just
everybody
up,
won
win back win. Like that was wild. Yeah. So
there was a chance there too, where I think it was after the 5th hole, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, yo, are we going to skunk these dudes?
Are we going
like,
to fuck?
Have you ever seen a 10-0?
I don't think so.
There's no chance we've ever seen a 10-0.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever seen it.
We might have to.
That was the closest we ever did.
Maybe instead of jumping to flight one, so we won flight 3 last year, flight 2 this year, the progression would be jump to flight 1 next year. Maybe we sandbag super hard just for this, because I hear some people like to do that.
Everybody was saying that we were doing it anyway, which is bullshit.
Which is, I mean, it's only been documented.
Listen to the
it's
podcast.
It's literally the opposite.
Look on YouTube. Do everything you need. Do your due diligence before you call us a sandbag. Okay, because I'm pretty sure that I proved that I'm at least a 10.7 in the big dog shootout.
it would be too funny though to see a 10-0. So thankfully they turned it on. I don't even know if a 10-0 is possible. But
and honestly,
very fun round.
Did you kind of let up a little bit? Because I feel if they're listening, I just want to let them know that we kind of just.
We had to
give them a couple points. It was a little lefty love there, like.
But you noticed I was putting with my eyes closed.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
After that. 3 through 6. Yeah. They didn't even see that.
Yeah, man. The banter is great through this whole thing. And we love those guys. I'm interested to see what the Pody boys are going to do next year.
I know
it's a little early and I know they both love those partners, but I don't know. Kyle isn't in, he's out in Virginia now. So I'm going to stir a little pot a little bit, and there might be a little Pody connection in the flight one again.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Who knows? Who
that knows? Would be if we can get good, that would be quite the head to head.
It would. We would definitely be getting strokes there.
Oh yeah.
A lot of them.
A lot of them.
But yeah, day two, it was nice to show our dominance, our lefty dominance to other young Cubs. And then who'd we play after that? Oh, and then it was Cortes.
Hofer.
It was Hofer.
No, Hofer, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Which we pretty much knew we had it locked in.
So we had to score a 1.5 points against Hofer's to clench the flight. Because actually our boy McDermott, old Johnny boy, was at a wedding Saturday night, and he showed up like a ball of fire on Sunday and have the match. So the Courtneys couldn't really do anything about them. It kind of helped us a lot.
Oh, for sure.
So, and I saw too, did you see the email that there was only one skin won in our flight, and it was John McDermott?
No so way.
He got $100.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was
so wait, funny. Dude, we didn't even, how do we skip over the Pody match and not even talk about your 35?
Oh yeah.
Like yeah. Literally.
Yeah, legit. I guess we could say that, that I'm a morning player.
Yeah, right.
I legit shot a 35 on the back nine of Candlewood Country Club.
To start Sunday.
And it was pretty sweet. Played pretty legit, used a lot of my scores, and I put everything out up until the last hole. You tapped in for a par, and I had probably like an 8-footer for par, and I just picked it up because it was match play, and I was like, we won and everything's cool. And we get back to the cart, and Pody says, dude, you just shot one under. There's no way you're a 10-7. And I was just like, what? Like, I really didn't do that. Like, I didn't
we literally even, had no idea. We
had no idea, which is wild. Just
yeah, that is wild.
Absolutely wild. But I felt like it wasn't real because I didn't make that putt on the last one. So yeah. I look at the tee box. I was like, I got time. Let's go make this thing. Kyle runs out with me. He friggin' pulls the pin. Tells me where I was, like close to it, and I just squeaked it in.
Yeah, it fell in at the end.
And it went in there and it felt real good. I was thinking about that, and I'm not sure if I'm just gonna go broadcasting that everywhere though, now that everybody knows and it's on the podcast and stuff. But I don't know, because I can't remember if I did putt everything in the hole. You know?
Right.
So like I know they were super close, but I also know that I did.
It doesn't matter. Those scores don't go in. So it
exactly, you know, so it's but, not, yeah, but so I was yeah, really, I think, really, really super close to being under par on a nine.
No, you least. Were. Yeah, for sure.
If not, safe if not, I was.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was super cool to do. And I wish I could have just kept it going. but we ended up, so we needed, like I said, 1.5 points against Hofer. Started on five again. Ridiculous starting holes. Flight two is some of the worst starting holes ever.
Legit.
Like, just no matter where you start, they're just crappy. It's either 4, 5, or 6. Just the hardest holes in the back or the front, whatever you want to call them now. But that match was... I was a little nervy. I was like, I just wanted to kind of get the points out of the way and just be able to chill, like have another bye round. But they ended up, it was completely different than Saturday.
Yeah.
We all just fanned them into the woods.
All four of them.
One of us. And yeah. And I think Hofer, Craig, one of the two, found their ball.
Oh yeah. It was just,
whatever. They ended up freaking winning the first hole, and I was just like immediately like shit, like pressing, and just wasn't playing my best golf, not playing the worst, that's for sure. But we ended up scratching a couple together. We halved a lot of holes, and then we ended up winning one, and I think we were tied going into the last hole, right?
Yeah, that was
14.
Yeah, it was
14, 4.
It was actually very similar to to the Courtney match because
yeah,
I don't know if you know, remember, but I literally hit a drive on nine in the exact same spot.
Really?
And made a birdie from the exact same spot.
No, like not notice that.
12 yards off the green in that like left little cutout of the fairway there.
Yeah.
And I birdied that one again. We got one back. And then I think we went tie or something like that.
Until the fourth. Yeah.
Until the fourth hole. Yeah.
Yeah. And me and Craig were both getting a stroke. The only strokes that were given on the whole match. Like we were just playing them straight up, which was sick. I get up there and just pull one right. And I was just like, well, good luck, John. Like at that point I was like, we've done enough. And you were like, I'm going to hit driver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. That's literally what I said.
And you hit the shit out of it.
Oh yeah.
You absolutely melted it. And we thought that after you hit that, I was like, there's no need for me to hit my ball. Cause like, we're just going to use your score anyway. Like you're 100 yards out, maybe 90 yards out.
Yeah.
So I didn't hit anything. I just pretty much conceded my ball. And then we searched for yours for a while and just couldn't find it. So, and
it was weird because I hit driver on that four, cut in the corner over the same exact spot. And I was like,
perfect.
I was perfect. Like, like even deep on the left side of the fairway. And we could not find the other ball. So I have no idea.
Somebody had to pick it up.
Yeah. Ugh, so they take the dub.
Yeah. So we had to concede the hole. And they took the win 6.5 to 3.5, which sucked. I still don't understand why it was not 6-4. I'm not understanding.
Oh no, we just had I think you just heard like the score wrong. We only had 3.5. We had won. And then we won that ninth hole. And then we had a bunch of like the 2.5 that added up.
No.
So it was 3.5.
Whatever. It just didn't seem right. But anyways, they won. But we took the flight. So then we get we go to the Big Dog shootout. I mean, that's all there was. There was a little bit of a wait. Everybody was having
long
dinner.
Wait, dude. Oh my god.
And the dinner looked so delicious and I was hungry, but I couldn't eat because I was kind of nervous and didn't want to feel full. I never liked to really eat before sporting events and stuff like that. So we were just hanging out, had a beer. Shaw made it to the BDS. He
had four beers.
Immediately started drinking Loyals and had beers, vodka. and anything he could get his paws on. But
he knew how nervous he was going to be.
If you asked him, he wasn't nervous,
right?
Which his golf swing told us otherwise.
Yeah. Well, shout out. We do have to give him a shout out though. He also shot a 35.
He did shoot a 35,
which is crazy.
Which is just crazy.
He shot a 35 with a double or a triple? No, a three putt. Was it a three putt? He said
a three.
It was maybe it was like a three putt bogey or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So he could have been even lower, which is crazy.
Very impressive.
Sounded like he played really well. Our boys Jason Ezra and Chris O'Loughlin in flight one. The damn just thoroughbreds of the CMG made it again. Then who do we have in flight four? I didn't know any of the other guys.
I think that might have been the young kids. There were two young kids, Jordan Bronk.
No, that was Bronk. Five.
That was five.
Yeah, the orange team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy with his uncle. Yes, with his uncle. Yeah.
Yep.
Those two, who was
very nervous.
Dude, crazy nervous. He came up to me multiple times after and was like, holy shit, that was insane. Yeah. I've never done anything like that.
It's so fun talking to people like about it and like how nervous like you actually are. Like, because the thing is, like, we get to the Big Dog shootout and you're standing on the tee box with 12 other dudes, literally 12 other dudes that are playing their ball. And there's got to be 50 people watching. 50, 60
oh, easily,
people,
easily,
at least with
and
carts.
With carts everywhere, and they're not, and they're all, and they're half in the bag. At this point, they're three quarters in the bag.
Exactly. Shout out to Ashley who was following them around and just keeping them tuned up,
fueling them.
Yeah, just she. She must have made out pretty well because those guys were just surrounding. She would just park in a spot and everybody was just kind of hanging around.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, crazy, crazy start. Hard to keep track of kind of everybody else. But I ended up, we just stuck with the plan. I'm just going to go right into it. I fanned one out.
Well, yeah, no. So we pull numbers. Yeah, to see what too. The T-sheet order, what the T-order is. Because at that point, too, you're like, you're kind of hoping. It's either you want to go first to get it over with, or you want to be, like, last, really. Because you just want to see, you know, you could just tell people are, like, were you nervy? How nervous were you getting up to that?
So, I was.
Were you as nervous as the T-shot from the year before?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was still nervous, obviously. If you walk up to that tee box and say that you aren't nervous, you're lying to yourself.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't care who you are. If you're playing in that tournament, there's no chance that you have played like with that many people watching you.
For sure.
Unless you've played in a big dog shootout like this, like, right. You know, 100%. Hammy's played in some things like this and like he kind of gets, but still like no matter what, like you're just going to be nervous. So yeah. We got fifth. We were fifth off the box, which was the
very comfy. Last.
Very comfy.
And we start on 14 now, which is new.
Yeah. So it was just an easy four iron. I was super pumped and like just focused. I thought I was focused, but I think focus was my big issue here. And I was focusing on the wrong things.
Right.
Instead of just dialing in on my golf swing and trying to keep everything clean, right. There's more of a focus on don't mess up. And that's, you can't play golf like that. You just
it's paralyzing.
It's paralyzing. It's crippling. Absolutely crippling. So I get up there and I hit a pretty pure four iron. I just left the face open a little bit and ended up finding my ball anyway, which is good. You hit a good one, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, I hit a solid five iron. We'd played that hole before with the Podies that morning, actually. And I didn't know what to do because I knew that that was going to be the BDS hole. And five wood where that pin was, the pin on 14 was back right. So anybody who knows 14 at Candlewood, anytime you're on the right edge of the fairway, you got that overhang trees that kind of like block you a little bit. And now I was saying my ball was missing right with pretty much everything. So I was just worried about not giving myself about going too far. Right. And so I took five wood out of play, hit five iron off the tee and left myself with the same exact shot that I had, with the Podies,
right.
Which was, I think like I was like 195.
Yeah.
And then
I
proceeded to pimp the hardest iron shot I've ever hit in my entire life.
It was so sick.
I hit a just pure five iron right at the flag.
Here's a funny story about this. I didn't hear you I wasn't looking at you. I was looking at the ball flight and I'm looking. And then all of a sudden I just hear Hammy say, "Oh, he's walking it in."
Yo, so literally, dude, right as I made contact, and you know me, I'm a beaver pellet collector.
Oh, absolutely.
The minute I see this ball way before it even apex, but just the line, like once I see it on the line with the flag, like I knew I hit it good. Like I knew I hit the right number. And I immediately, right as I finish my swing, I just start walking after the pellet.
Yeah,
and it's like 20 yards away and I'm like 5 yards from the pellet, probably like 10 yards when the ball lands on the green. And I just couldn't stop thinking to myself, that was probably the most gangster thing I've ever done on a golf course. And I couldn't help but think we definitely didn't get that on film.
No, I know. I wish we did. Cause that was sick. And I just loved hearing Hammy.
I heard a couple of people say that he's walking it down. Yeah. That's so funny.
After you hit that, you probably had, I don't know, 20 feet, 25 feet, whatever.
Yeah. I believe no one out of the 12 people hit the green in two. I was the only one. So we were immediately like, there were people just.
And you know, the thing is, you were getting a stroke as well. You and were getting a stroke. So it took complete pressure off of me. And I was just like, I'm just going to try and chip up. Get up and down for a bogey and see if you can be aggressive. End up hitting a seven iron a little bit too hot, went into the corner, just before the creek of the where the creek goes, and then a little bit of rough and then a green. Then the first chunk of the BDS happens. And I had probably a 20-yard shot, was trying to just do a little Seekman, and it seeked right to about 2 feet in front of me with a beaver pellet about the side, probably 6 inches deep.
Oh, my God.
And that was pretty embarrassing. So I just picked up my ball and stood over next to Shaw and Chris O'Loughlin, who were also picking up their balls. But I think this is a good time that we can tell the Chris Shaw story too.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead.
It's pretty quick. But he took four swings in the Big Dog Shootout and he lost four balls.
I was going to say he took four swings and it cost him $16. Oh, so they end up advancing. True. So they got to play, right? Yeah.
Cause they played,
there was two holes.
They got two holes, and Shaw literally hit his driver into the woods. Then he went over to the woods, hit his second shot into the woods, and then gets
the T-shots weren't close either.
Brian Jordan, his partner, who hit a persimmon
that's the story. Okay, that's the story we have to tell. So as Ronnie said, 12 of us on the tee. We pull numbers, we pull cards. Shaw is the first group that gets pulled. And this dude pulls a persimmons three wood. Like, I'm talking, this club has not been doctored. It's not been altered in any way. It is an OG.
It was a wooden club.
A straight wooden club. He walked up to the tee box and he absolutely piped one right down the middle. First tee shot. Like, the stones to do that. And then as he walked away and I saw him do it, like, or I saw him, like, I actually looked at the club. Yeah. I was like, that was one of the most legendary BDS things I've ever seen.
He'll go down in history for that forever. Cause he was one of the most nervous people up there too.
And he squared that thing up.
Absolutely squared it up. Pretty wild that I totally forgot about that.
It's so amazing.
So yeah, they made it. Brian ended up parring or bogeying for a par. I know he got a shot, and then Shaw gets up there for the second, hits another one in the woods,
into the woods,
drops up there again and hits another into the woods. And then, then we were all, so what happened on that hole?
So yeah, the second hole. So we advanced to the next one.
Yeah, this is another great one. I just shanked one again. Remember, I shanked it off the tee. It hit that tree dead square and came.
That's right. Oh fuck.
Yeah. So we were both getting strokes again. So yes. You ended up taking care of that hole again.
You went off to the right, you hit that tree, came back. I ended up pulling a three wood, which I had this draw pattern. I could not miss left. And I was like, this ball's not missing left. I cannot miss right. I, for the first time, hit a freaking like hard fade kind of cut, goes right on the edge of the shit. Mm-hmm. So I had to punch up and then hit a six iron up by the trees. We were fighting to hang on. Yeah. We both went six for five, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Because I chipped.
And then we went into a chip off.
Yeah.
That was the chip off hole.
Thank God for you there. That's why I say that you took care of this hole, because we were the last ones to go in the chip off, which was sick.
Yeah. The chip off was, it was on the 15th. And what would you say that was? Like a 15 yard chip?
Maybe 15. Yeah.
15 like, yards. But what happened was, the pin was right in the front. So it was probably like five paces on the green, but where the green's a little bit of a turtleback. So the front of the green is protected by a hill and then that first cut of grass. So if you chip into that hill and you don't hit it right, it'll die or it'll spin back or you won't get it. So it's kind of like, it's a nice little touch chip shot. It actually was a really good spot to put a chip off.
Yeah.
Same thing. We draw numbers. There were what, four groups? There were four to get to three.
Yeah. Yeah, on the whole. The old men were the only ones that parred.
That's right. So we had four spots to where we're kicking one out, and it was just closest to the pin or closest to the hole. Each team gets two chip shots, and your best one advances you.
Right.
And we were the last group and you went first. And I was so pumped because I was like, let's go. I legit did not think I was going to have to hit a chip because there, I mean, they were probably like 10 feet, 8 feet. Like it wasn't like, there wasn't a crazy good,
no,
we had a pretty big circle that we could put it into advance.
Yeah, exactly. And
you fucking don't get one up there.
No, I did get it up there.
Oh, you got it up there. Yeah, that you blasted it past. So now it literally came down to the last chip and I'm just sitting there like,
just get it inside of Shaw. Just get it inside of Shaw.
I will say though, that whole weekend, no real chipping blunders. All my chips were like, all, it was all good contact. It was so that thankfully I actually was, I was in a pretty good mindset. Yep. So yeah, we advance on a chip off.
Which that was our first chip off in history of
Big
Shootout, which is pretty cool.
Made it through the first hole, second hole, onto the third hole.
So now we get to the third hole. And now I'm starting to think, I want to give a shout out to Rob Glow and Klinger. They kind of just, they met us there on the tee box and I just walked up to him. I was like, I just got to start swinging. And they're just like, dude, just play golf. Like just swing your swing. Like this is nothing. Like you just got to play. So I did. And I went out there and hit a beautiful 4-iron off the tee that I always do. Landed right where I wanted it to land, almost very close to the spot that you you made that dirty bird, that dirt
almost
bird.
Exactly.
And then your tee shot, you were struggling with
decision. Thing. That's when I look back at the BDS, that's the thing that I think is I'm most frustrated with, is that I was so indecisive on everything.
Yeah.
And it was just like, the result's the result, but I just wish I was more committed to whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's what I think, you weren't committed and you just pulled it a little bit and it had enough stank to get into the water of that creek,
right?
Which sucked, but I was in a great spot and neither one of us were getting a stroke on that hole. I'm not going to lie. That was probably the most nervy shot that I had.
That was huge.
Super nervous. Cause I was sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. There was one other guy, one of the older guys hit the green. And I just said, I was just like, just hit the middle of the green, get up and down. Ended up taking a less club. I think I was like 150 out,
which was huge.
45, 150 out. Usually I would hit an 8-iron there, just a nice smooth 8, but I took a 9 and just absolutely flushed it and still went a little bit long, but it sucked back. And I had, I don't know, 15 footer for a 2-putt par.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how I don't even call them birdie putts anymore. They're just a 2-putt par.
2-putt par. That's hilarious.
Ended up parring and I helped the team. So
no, that was, that was massive. Was like that was our own, like, I mean, now we're down to what? Three teams left.
Yeah.
I was completely out. So it was just you. And said, I think that can't be understated enough was how long you had to wait, because like it wasn't just me who went into the water there. There were three other people. We were trying to figure out like where to drop and everything. All the people were going up. Nobody really knew. Like that's the thing with those tournaments. There's no real order. It's just kind of like a scatter plot of like everybody's, you know, running around. You're looking around. It's like, is it my turn? Is it my turn? Do I go?
Absolutely.
That was a massive par. So
it was a big one.
We get through three holes.
Three holes, and I was like, all right, so now, you know, John's gonna hit a driver on this hole. I know that. I'm starting to feel it again. So I'm starting to catch steam right at the right time. And you were just so solid all weekend that like when you had like a bad hole like that before, you would always bounce back and just do what you needed to do. You know, like that's what I noticed the most with your game, like this whole weekend, is that you were just so solid. Like every time we needed, every time I would go in the woods, you would go and hit a good tee shot, or like it just happened like that. So I knew you were good and I felt good going into it. I was like, all right, just, you know, let's grind now. We got two other teams to battle. So we had the tee box. I get up there and I freaking shank another one, dude, just pull right again. And luckily it ended up, and I'm getting a stroke on this hole. Me and the older guys are the only ones that are getting a stroke on that hole. So I felt inclined to help again. So I might have been pressing again and maybe swung a little too hard. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not a professional either. So it got through. And then you went up there and you smoked a drive. Absolutely pissed on one. And it just, it must have clipped the tree.
Went right, stayed
and
right.
Went right and just stayed right over near the freaking tee box, which is not exactly what we wanted. But we were both okay because I was getting a stroke and you could, I figured you could just, which you ended up doing, playing down.
Oh, no. Actually, I was also, no.
No, you weren't getting a
stroke. No, I wasn't. That's right. You were. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I was the only one.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And
so,
and at this point we're playing, there's three teams left. It's the first flight, the second flight, which is us. And then the last flight, which is the seniors flight, who are playing from the white tees. We should mention.
And who were literally kicking ass, like
nails,
like just like absolute the safest. Yeah. Yeah. That they didn't even have nerves in their body.
No, they're all dead.
They were just trying to get home. They were just trying.
So that's we'll tell that story after, but go exactly. So
this is the part of the member guest that I am certainly forgetting. I have forgotten. I gave myself Monday to think about this, and Tuesday I didn't think about this, and I haven't thought about it until just now. And what happened next, this is the last time that I'll probably ever talk about it. Thank God it's on a recording. But I get up to my ball and I said to myself, all you got to do is just pop a little four iron out there, you know, get it, chip up and get up and down from there. And you're going to get in for par, five for four. I was just thinking, all you got to do is bogey. Like you can bogey from here. So I was right in front of the bunk. Well, I say right in front. I was probably like 10 yards away from the bunker. So I was really, I felt confident. And I just took another hack and it was the same feeling of the driver swing where I just pulled open and didn't look at the ball and just absolutely topped it and chunked it right into the bunker.
Up against the lip of the bunker.
Up against the lip of the bunker. Okay. So here we go again. Everybody's sitting there waiting for me to play, watching me, wanting me to
needing you,
needing me, wanting me, to just hit the ball in the air. And I didn't, I didn't hit it in the air. I flubbed it again. And all I can remember, and I still think I'll tell a nightmare story about this after, cause I do have nightmares about this exact thing happening where I can't hit the ball in the air and I just can't move the ball for more than like 5 yards at a time. Like I'm trying and like, I
not can't, a laughing matter, but
it's
I'm
not a laughing matter, but like who gives a shit.
Right.
And after that flub, all I can remember is Hammy hitting the gas pedal and just saying, Jesus, Ron, and driving away.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I grab my 7 iron and I'm hitting now 1, 2, 3, I'm hitting my fourth shot. So I said, if I can get it on the green and have a putt, that would be electric. I ended up
hitting
a pretty solid 7 iron. Didn't check my yardage or anything like that. I was just really trying to get that ball in the air towards the hole.
Yes.
And, it was all right. Not a bad shot, but I was pretty much out of the hole. I had to chip in for a bogey to make par, which that ended up winning. But you tell them about what happened with you.
Yeah. So I was, I pulled the drive right on 17. I'm up against the fence on the 18 tee box and I have no choice really, but to play to the right. I have to play up the right side of the fairway.
Have to.
And I ended up getting relief from the fence, which was nice. And I have to, so I'm like a buck 65 away from the pin. So I got to hit, I'm trying to kind of triangulate where is going to leave me the best shot. Now I'm just thinking now is like, how can I make four from this spot?
Right.
And so ideally what I was trying to do is I was trying to hit like a punch cut 7 iron that was going to kind of try to turn around the trees and leave me with like, you know, just give me less than, I just wanted like a less than 30 yard chip in, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I flushed the punch shot way too good, way too straight. Ends up working out really well though. I'm pin high, but I'm like 70 yards. So I play straight up 18.
Yeah.
So we right immediately, like now we knew I was the only one in the hole. We're starting to, there's only two other groups now. We're starting to see where it's like, where it's playing out. So there was one other guy, Chris O'Loughlin, who also hit his driver way right with me. So I go up to my punch shot and now I'm watching him. So Ezra has gone, the other flight one partner, he ended up, he had a good drive. Then I think he like kind of chunked one, not chunked one, but I think he hit one like way short, mm-hmm. pretty much like it's, it looked like he, it was going to be hard for him to make a four.
Yeah.
So now Chris is kind of like the last hope. The old guys were, they ended up being already in for 5-4, but like, this is where it really mattered was I now punched up and had the chip shot just right of the green. I was like 60 yards away and O'Loughlin was in the trees in the cart path and had a window where he had to also hit a punch shot, but he could play it like at the green. So he, mm-hmm. so I'm, we're standing 60 yards diagonal with the green. And he's back playing his second approach shot and he hits one and it is screaming at the green, takes a nice hop, starts to slow down a little bit and then hits the middle of the green again and kicks up and is about to go over the green and it hits the flag
so hard,
so hard. And it stops on the fringe of the fucking green. And I like right then and there, I was like, oh my God. I was like, so now I'm like, I have to make four because he's going to two putt from here.
Yeah.
Puts a lot more pressure on the chip. I ended up actually hitting a pretty good chip. Like apparently it had crazy cheese on it. I couldn't see it because it was in like a little downslope.
Yeah. Had to have had cheese.
Tough pin spot. We ended up with like, I think I was like 15 feet at, but downhill on the fringe, like really tough pin spot. It would have been, I hit it a little too hard, but it was an impossible putt, but I
super close though.
Ended up making a five. And he two putts for four. So if that ball doesn't hit the pin and it goes off the green, he would have had to get up and down, which he definitely could have done, but it would have been much harder for him to make a four there. He would have had at least chip and putt. But that's golf. It was cool in the way that now looking back at it, like taking the emotions out of it, it was kind of cool in the way that like that happened in a sense of like, it's just a perfect kind of,
it's just golf.
It's like just so golf. Like anything that's how can thin the margins are, right? It's exactly. Like that ball, if that ball's an inch to the right or left, it's like, we ended up getting bounced and then.
Yeah. So the old flight one, the flight top one and bottom, an old bookend finish, wild. I think everybody just thought that Ezra and O'Loughlin were just going to run away with it. But boy, those two guys, those two gentlemen from the senior flight gave us a show.
Like an absolute show. And listen, we're talking about now the BDS has moved to five holes. We're talking about the 18th green where now you've got guys that have just been watching golf for an hour, like you said, just going to the watering hole, filling up, everybody's cocked.
Yeah.
And on a stage where the 18th green, where we've seen people like lose the big dog shootout, missing like 3 footers. So a stage that's not easy to putt on the 18th hole whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And these dudes go crazy. Like
what was there?
So they tied 4 times in a row. They played so many practices. I mean, they played so many playoff holes that the public actually snuck in and two guys finished through because so with the way the tournament started, they don't start letting the public go off till like 3 o'clock. Well, it was so long we were out there that one of the guys was like, he was also like 70 plus like, years old.
No, I think he was like 80 something.
80, and he was out there. Yeah. He was loving it. So they got a crowd coming in.
Yeah, we were booing them and cheering them. But dude,
the 6 flight guys were just making long, they kept hitting the balls in the same exact spot, short of the green. Yep. And that dude just was nailing 10 footers, 12 footers, just to go 5-for-4 to tie.
Yeah.
Ezra, the first playoff hole too, Ezra stuck one.
Yeah, he had like a four footer
for birdie that would have just,
yeah,
it actually would have been a nice way to close the
turn. And then O'Loughlin had that long one too.
Yeah, he had an long amazing bender. Putt. Yeah, dude. Incredible. And Tom, he almost made that twice.
Tom had that like same 12 footer, 15 footer, like two or up three times, which is ridiculous. The best one was just when I think it was like the third or fourth playoff hole.
Oh yes,
when
yes.
he drained it and just turns around and points to the tee box like, let's go boys,
he goes, we're going back.
The crowd was going absolutely bananas for that. But
and also the craziest part was rumor had it that 10 minutes before the Big Dog Shootout kicked off, the senior flight, the twosome that made the Big Dog Shootout, was about to leave. They were like, yeah, we're not going to stay. There's no point for us to like play in the shootout. We're not going to do it. We're not going to play.
Oh, my God.
And somebody talked them into playing.
Good.
So they legit weren't even going to go. I mean, only to have a just a heartbreaking runner-up finish. How are they going to move on with their lives? I don't know. But
they probably went home and slept just fine.
They're still – no, dude, I didn't think – you didn't hear. They're what? Still sleeping. Nobody woke them up yet.
Just heartless.
No, they were
so funny.
Sorry, Norm.
Sorry, Norm.
Shout out to Norm too. We got some great pictures.
Great pictures. We'll be posting them up on Instagram soon. Long story short, Ezra and O'Loughlin won.
Yeah.
For the third time in five years, which is absurd. I don't have much to say. Like, they play well, man. They just know how to get the ball in the hole. And that helps in this game. Yeah. Yep. They're, you know, which I think we did really well too this weekend.
For sure.
So
yeah.
Before we move on, let's do a best and worst. I'll tell you what you did best and worst on the weekend and what I did best and worst.
Oh yeah. Okay.
All right?
Okay.
You wanna what I can do?
Yeah, I'll start.
Okay, go ahead.
Only because this was something that when I was thinking about hopping on the pod tonight, I think that was the first time that I've seen you hit full wedges where it was like a noticeable like contact, like you could hear it. Like when you were hitting full wedges, especially early on, and when you had that 35, that was the most comfortable I've seen you with like an approach wedge in your hand and just like kind of how smooth it was.
Tempo was pretty big there for a little while.
That's the thing, is you could hear it. I think that was the difference. And I think for both of us was like when we found it, or when we kind of have our game, it sounds a little different, which is good. I think it's nice. But that was the first time I had really heard it from you. Especially with the wedges.
So sick. All right. You want me to do
so what? That was good. That was good. So bad.
Let me do your best. It's very, very similar to yours, but I'm just going to take it to the green, and I would say that you putt your ass off. Like, you just, like I said, that, or like you said, there was no three putts.
Right.
Like, legit, there was no three putts. You were just absolute nails. Whether you had a 40 footer and put it to 8 feet and then drip that in, like everything just seemed so smooth. Like that was one of a million things. Cause you just, this weekend was, you definitely have made a huge improvement. Like all around.
Right. Yeah, for sure. The putting. Yeah. It's funny you say that, the putting thing, for as good as the two putts were, the speed, I think, from the deeper ones weren't good, but anything that was within 10 feet, I legit felt like I was going to be able to roll it.
I'd say even 15 feet, dude. Like you were just absolute, like everything was just so close, if not in. And it was wild. It was really wild.
Yeah, that was big. That was definitely a big step.
Yeah.
All right, the bad.
I already have a bad for you.
All right, so go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
I think it's so easy. You just swing way too hard with your driver.
Oh my God, so hard. I know. There was like,
it's scary when you swing that thing. Like if you just literally slowed down, you could hit the ball 290 yards every single time. That's straight. Like you could. But I feel like you're so fixated on hitting it farther and farther and farther that you can't not swing hard. I don't think it's possible for you to do that with your driver.
There is no like in between. That's my thing. It's like, so when I slow down, it gets too slow and I just have never been able to find the middle.
Which is just so wild to me, because you can do it with both your 5-wood and your 3-wood.
I don't fuck with that. I swear to God,
this is something for Pete to unpack.
It feels like when you put a driver in my hand and you ask me to swing it, it feels like I'm playing a different sport. It feels like a completely different swing. I actually is starting to feel a little more normal.
Like your driver.
Yeah, like this, just the swing, like it I just feel like the feeling of the swing. Yeah, there's some improvements coming there. We're getting a little more control of the golf ball, but you're right.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was funny. One time I walked off the tee box and you were like, dude, you swung so hard, your hair went up in the air and then it came down after you were done swinging.
Ridiculous.
Like, oh my God.
Ridiculous.
Oh, that's so funny.
So funny.
Yeah, for you, it's just the compounding. It's the having one shot lead to another bad shot.
Yeah.
It's like the chunk chip letting one of the contacts affect you.
Yeah.
But yours is, I think, like, because your swing obviously has changed a lot. Just like the look of it. And like I was saying, because I did comment on how like more smooth it looked.
Yeah.
When you get at a rhythm and like, I don't know if it's like more physically like tired or everything, but you see you pop a little bit. And I know that's something
noticed that too. Like, and it makes sense because when I was hot, it was in the beginning of the days, both days. And then I feel like I progressively just started to peter off and completely agree with you that like, it's especially in match play. I think that I notice it. Like if I hit a bad tee shot, like this year, I didn't do as good of a job as keeping my head in that hole. Like last year, I feel like I would hit one bad and I was mentally like, just like, okay, well, I just got to do this to do this. And that like, I came back a lot harder. This one was like, I think expectations were a little bit higher and I was looking, you know, I was playing well in the beginning and I just was expecting that to keep happening. So when it didn't, it was like, fuck, you know, like,
right.
Just a little bit of different mindset. And I think that again, learned, I think it was a learning thing and hopefully it'll help in the future. So,
yeah, that's the nice thing. I think it is just like coming away from this weekend is we played such good golf. Like there's nothing to be like, it is what it is. It would be so much different too. Actually, I think we would be digesting this so much differently if we didn't win last year, which is a big difference, a big deal. Like, I mean, cause imagine think of how differently you would feel if we didn't have one under our belt and what, you know, 17 happened and
it would have been, I might have jumped.
Aim for the bushes. thinking what I'm thinking?
I might have jumped.
Aim for the bushes.
Yeah. So that, I mean, overall, it was a great experience. I was happy. I think I just lost power. I did.
Welcome to the late night hour with Dante.
Just kidding. All right, so here's what just happened. Just did an hour and 15 minutes that you just hopefully enjoyed. Got a little taste of the CMG recap, and Ronnie was finishing off. We were going to transition and just talking very briefly on PGA and kind of what's going on, what's coming up. And his screen goes blank. So I'm like, what is happening? He shoots me a text. He just lost power. So whatever storm's rolling through, Hurricane Ida, I think it is, just got him good. I gave him a little tutorial and showed him how his phone is a hotspot. So he had just enough battery in the phone to get the audio up. Very thankful that we did not have to re-record this at 10:30 because it would have been even more trash than you maybe thought that was. But we're good. So we, thankfully, the CMG is past us now. Awesome year. So this weekend I was actually on my way home from the CMG when my phone started blowing up. PGA Tour gets blessed with another playoff, and none other than Bryson in it as well. Cantlay, what a performance. I actually didn't know that he was in the, I really was not tuned in at all this weekend. I actually didn't see any
nothing from the playoff. So except for the next day when I saw the Tiger Power club twirl that Bryson had, and then he goes on and misses the putt, which is just so golf, it hurts. But Cantlay goes crazy, putts out of his mind, breaks the strokes gain record of in one tournament of strokes gain putting. He shoots, I think it was, he had 15 strokes he gained on the field. Just a ridiculous performance. Shoots 27 under, wins in that playoff. I believe he had 33 birdies on the weekend, which is just insane. And then Bryson obviously is his own other entirety of a story. Won't touch too much on Bryson, I don't think. He's as polarizing as it gets right now. He just actually sat down with Golf Central, I believe, I just saw on Twitter, and did an interview, which in the most Bryson way possible, he proceeded to compare himself to Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos within like the first minute of the interview, which, I mean, that's just it, right? He continuously shows us that he doesn't know what he's doing. He can't get out of his own way. He just keeps digging his own grave a little deeper. You see some guys coming out talking now. Rory had a lot of very interesting points, but kind of the first pro to raise his hand and be like, maybe we should lay off this guy a little bit, you know, put yourself in his shoes type thing. Interesting perspective. I really liked Cantlay's perspective. I thought he made a lot of really good points. You should definitely go back and listen to that, or at least read that transcript. But that's it. I mean, look, the PGA Tour responds this week. And this weekend, if you say Brooksy, you are going to be threatened to leave the course or removed from the golf course. So that is a very, very obviously all over Twitter, the opinion makers, I should say, everyone who thinks they have an opinion has been talking about it. Maybe we'll address that next weekend. I see it a little bit from both ways. We'll dive into that. We'll digest what I gotta actually go back and watch it and the entirety of what Bryson said, because he hasn't done a lot of press conferences recently. He's not talking to the media at these tournaments. So I actually am interested to hear what exactly he has to say. What else? Phil, Ryder Cup assistant captain, him and Freddie Couples. Very excited just to see how that team turns out. I actually believe that they are doing a dinner tonight, and I think Bryson and Brooks are at that together. So I'm sure this week, on top of Bryson starting in, what is it, top three? Is he two? Yeah, he's two. No, what is he? He's three. He's starting at 7 under. Cantlay starting at 10 under. Finau 8 under. Rahm 6. Cam Smith 5. Listen, we ain't getting rid of him. So if you hate the Bryson talk, sorry, but it is what it is. That man, for better or for worse, and mostly for worse right now, is popular. What else we got? We got the Solheim Cup going on this week out in Ohio. Excited to see that. First real taste. I'm just the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup chatter is picking up too, and I can't wait to just kind of see what Team USA forms in the sense of team, in the sense of camaraderie, in the sense of like a unit. Because I think that's what Europe has the biggest upper hand on us is they just do a better job of really, you know, it is a team event. And sometimes there is sacrifices, and you know, you got to want to play for the other guy that you're playing with. So with the American team, a lot of egos. So we'll see. I'm excited to see how they set that up, and I'm excited that Phil is in it too. That Phil is going to be a part of it, and I just think he's just kind of been on fire lately. So really excited for that. What else we got? I think that's about it. Great weekend again. Excited to finally kind of sit down and watch some golf, but that is it. We will leave them on the 19th. Bang. All in all, later.